Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
Hello and welcome to Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast. Today, I'll be talking about things that are not seen and things that are seen as well. I start with the scripture coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It reads, "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So, I will discuss eternal things and temporal things, things that are seen and things that are not seen. What does it mean when it says, "We look not at the things which are seen"? Okay, the things which are seen, what are they? Now, notice the subject there, we. We. I'll be talking about the we and the us, the we's and the us's in the Bible. Things seen, things that are not seen. And Zechariah chapter 5 asks me the question, "What seest thou?" That's Zechariah 5, verse 2. "What seest thou?" What do I see? They speak not in depth, but they speak about the things that they see. We look not at the things which are seen, but things that are seen. When you read your Bible or you listen to someone teaching on a minister, a preacher, and you may have heard someone discuss the story on Moses delivering the children of Israel from Egypt. You see the story there. You see the Israelites have been taken into bondage. They are in a condition of servitude to the Egyptians. The story there, Exodus. You can see that story. You see that story. That's a thing that is seen. That's seen presently. Okay. You see them crossing the Red Sea. The sea splits. They go through. Pharaoh's army drowns as the waters come back together. You see Moses going forth with the children of Israel. You see Moses receiving the commandments, coming down the mountain, and eventually he gives the commandments to the people. You also in that story see breaking, literally, physically breaking, throwing the tablets down and breaking them, breaking the tablets that have the commandments on them. That's a story. You see that. Okay. They say we look not at the things which are seen. The story of Moses delivering the children of Israel from hard bondage in Egypt is a thing that is seen. Another thing that is seen. You see the story of Jonah and the fish. You see Jonah being called to go forth and do a certain work. You see Jonah not going forth and doing the work for which he has been called. But he takes the ship and goes elsewhere. You see him being swallowed by a great fish. You see the fish throwing him back up later on. That's a story. You see that. That's a thing that is presently seen. Okay? Also, you see this. Now, keeping in mind, they say, we look not at the things which are seen. And they say what they do look at. They look at the things which are not seen. How can you look at something that is not seen? Okay? Then there's the story of Jesus. This character, Jesus, and his band of men. You see them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see them going forth. You see them. You see the character, Jesus, breaking commandments. You see the character Jesus breaking one commandment in particular, the commandment of the Sabbath. You see the authorities approaching him and questioning him. Why does he break and why does he continue to break the law of the Sabbath? You see the character Jesus giving smart remarks to the authority. You see the character Jesus loves to break the law of the Sabbath, keeping in mind that the law of the Sabbath has been given to the Bible characters a long time ago in advance of the birth of the character Jesus. The character Jesus cannot wait for the Sabbath to come. He, on the Sabbath day, he does the exact opposite of the law of the Sabbath. in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can see that. You can see that. You know that the laws of Sabbath says that, and I'm turning to it. The laws of Sabbath says that 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed that day and hallowed it. Okay. Exodus 31:14. Reads as follows: Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death, but whosoever doeth any work therein, that those shall cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. So in Mark, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see Jesus doing his work on the Sabbath day. It's not a question of whether his work is good or bad. Bearing in mind, the Sabbath law says, whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Nevertheless, Jesus and his band of men disregard that law. And notice that the law of the Sabbath, the breaking of that law carries the death penalty. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Whosoever. Okay, so Jesus can't wait for the Sabbath days to come. He rests 6 days, and he does his work on one day. The Sabbath law says, 6 days may work be done, but the seventh, don't do any work. The rest on that day. Jesus, as I stated, does his work on that one day of the Sabbath day, and he rests from his work 6 days. The exact opposite of what the law of that calls for. You see the character Jesus eventually being caught, and he is judged, and you see the character Jesus receiving the death penalty, and you see the authorities in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John carrying out the death penalty because of Jesus' disobedience, because of his rebellion. You see him being put to death by the authority. Those things I are seen, the Moses story, things like the Jonah story, the Jesus story, those things are seen. Although the Jesus story is not preached as such in life, what is being preached presently, publicly, Jesus, the opposite of what is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what is being preached is Jesus is a righteous man, whereas in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is a sinner, Jesus is a lawbreaker, he is a repeat lawbreaker, constant lawbreaker, focused lawbreaker. So, things that are seen, that's a thing seen. Those are things seen, the Moses story, the John story, the Jesus story. Those are things that are seen. The statement, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which Moses story, the Jonah story, the Jesus story, examples of things that are seen. That means you can read the Bible and see the story. You can read the story. The stories have a beginning. The stories have an ending. Okay? Things that are seen. The statement says we look not at the things which are seen. But it doesn't stop there. The statement goes on to say, but at the things which are not seen. Having given you some examples of things which are seen, I will now give you examples of things that are not seen. How can you see something that is not seen? They say they look at the things which are not seen. Keeping in mind also that the things which are seen are temporal. What does that mean? That means that the story of Moses delivering the children of Israel from Egypt is a temporal thing. It's not an eternal thing. Okay? The story of Jonah being a thing that is seen, it is a temporal thing and not an eternal thing. And the same for the story of Jesus. It is a thing that is seen. It is a temporal thing. Okay. Things that have an end. Things whose time of ending will come. Okay. Now, let me read these. I have some more statements here before I actually get into the things that are not seen that they say they look at. Now, this we here is typical of the Gentiles. Okay. And we could go ahead and say that the we is also typical of the people of the kingdom of God. Okay. All the people of the kingdom of God, not just the Gentiles, but all the people that are in the kingdom of God. What are some more statements that speak about the we and the us? We look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Well, another statement is found in Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. That's an acknowledgement, a statement of acknowledgement. Secret things belong to the Lord our God. Secret things in the Bible. That's what it's talking about. But those things which are revealed belong to us. There is the pronoun us and to our children forever. That we, there's the we, may do all the words of this law. I have been teaching on the law of God. I have been teaching on the will of God. The law of God is a part of the will of God. I believe I called it the last time, the unification of all things. The will of God has elements of the law in it. It has elements of the people's covenant, elements of the covenant in it. And so, you know, you have the will of the covenant and the law. And so I call it the unification of all things, and that unification of all things is seen in the will of God, the manifest will of God. things that are revealed belong to us. I have been revealing things, bringing forth revelations, and this is an acknowledgement also, the statement, the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. For how long? Forever. That tells us that. Okay, the things that are revealed. What things have been revealed? I have revealed the papacy's law of the curse against African people, white people. That's the thing that has been revealed. But the acknowledgement says the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And get this, the law of the curse could not be seen before I brought it forth. So the law of the curse in the Bible, as it is in the Bible, is a thing, not a thing. Get this, go back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The law of the curse in the Bible is a thing that is not seen. I have made it possible for people to look at that law of the curse, which in the Bible is a thing that is not seen. I have made a thing not seen possible to see. I have given form to the law of the curse. I have given body to the law of the curse, the papacy's law of the curse, whereas before it was a thing not seen. Now it is a thing that can be seen. Elements of the law, the papacy's law of the curse, can be seen in Lawmaster's episodes, the episodes dealing with the curse. And that's really something. That's really something. A thing that was not seen is now seen and can be now seen. The papacy's law of the curse is now a thing that can be seen, made possible by God himself. The Lord God is real. That's really something. Giving the people, causing them to be able to see a thing that is not seen. I asked the question earlier, how can you see something that is not seen? The Lord God of Israel made it possible to see an unseen thing. He made it possible for people to see the curse also. So people can see the curse in my document, Lawmaster's document. The Lord God of Israel's document, which is titled The Law of God, All Things of Demonstrated Power of God. That curse can be seen. Before the Lord God Israel, that was an impossibility. People did not see it. Okay? Now, so the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us, the people. The people of the kingdom of God, the Gentiles, and all of the people in the kingdom of God. That which is not seen, God makes it possible to be seen. Okay? Another thing that is not seen. We look not not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Another thing not seen is the law of God. The law of God as I teach it. It's not seen. I've made it possible for that law to be seen. Another thing that is not seen. That the statement speaks about, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, is the will of God, the will of God, the testament. It's a thing not seen in the Bible, as one reads it, but by the work of God, it is possible to be seen now. You can see elements of the will of God in Lawmasters episodes. And you can also see the will itself. A document that Lord God Israel has put together, has composed, put together, making it possible for the will of God, the testator, to be seen with the physical eye. And of course, you can hear it with the ear from Lama Vargas dealing with the subject. God makes it possible for the things that are not to be. Therefore, God causes things which are not seen to be seen. So in order for this statement to come to pass or be fulfilled, 2 Corinthians 4:18, God must be on the scene. And, of course, we do have that. God is present, God is on the scene, and God has cause certain things that were not seen before to be seen now. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, your understanding of that statement should be just this. God makes it possible for people to see things that are before not seen, or things that were before not seen. And you should be able to name things that this statement speaks about when it speaks about things that are not seen. Things such as the papacy's law of the curse against white African people. That law has been carried out by the Gentiles. That law has been fulfilled by the Gentiles. Okay? You should be able to name that law. You should be able also to name the law of the Passover. The average person does not see the law of Passover when he reads or she reads, you know, when they read the Bible. The law of Passover, God has made it possible for the law of Passover to be seen. Okay. The papacy's law of the curse, the Vatican's law of Passover, the law of God, should be able to name those three things that God has made possible to be seen. And you have the will of God, the testator. Four things there, the papacy's law of the curse, the Vatican's law of Passover, the law of God, and the will of God, the testator. Those four things, you should be able to name those things. Those are things that before God, they were unseen. Now, with God on the scene, and through the work of God who is on the scene, those things are able to be seen. God is a producer of things unseen. He produces them and causes them to be seen. Okay. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Now, what are things that are revealed that belong to the Gentiles by acknowledgement? Okay. And to all other people in the kingdom of God. What are those things that are revealed that belong to people in the Gentiles? Those things are the four things that I just named. Not just those four things, but those are four things that belong to the people. And from that statement, the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. The law of the papacy. The law of the papacy's cursing ain't that for the people. Belongs to the Gentiles and all other people of God. The law of the Vatican's law of Passover, the law of doubt and defeat, belongs to the Gentiles and all other people in the kingdom of God. The law of God belongs to the Gentiles and all other people in the kingdom of God. And the will of God, the testator, belongs to the Gentiles and to all other people in the kingdom of God. God has made it possible for the people to have those things. God himself is a revealed entity. Okay? God himself is a revealed entity. The statement says, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So, just as those four things which were secret now made known by the Lord God, Israel, just as those things belong to the Gentiles and all other people of God, God belongs to the Gentiles and to all other people of God. The secret things belong to the Lord, our, a possessive pronoun, our God. And of course, the Gentiles and the people themselves in the kingdom of God are a possession of God himself. The Gentiles and the people have God, and God has the Gentiles and all of the people in as a possession. Understanding 2 Corinthians 4:18. Understanding it. For the things which are seen are temporal. I said that. Those are not eternal things. The story of Moses delivering the children of Israel, the story of Jonah, and these are just some examples of things that are temporal. The story of Jonah and the story of Jesus and his band of men breaking laws and finally being caught and brought to justice. Those are temporal things. They teach moral lesson. We can learn morals from those stories, but they are not eternal things. Now, the things of God are eternal. The things that are revealed are eternal things, and Deuteronomy 29:29 makes that clear. Those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Not just for a duration, a short duration of time, but forever. Forever. Oh, the papacy's law of the curse, which God has brought forth, produced and brought forth as a that is an eternal thing. It has come from God. It is an eternal thing. The people are to have that. Forever. The people are to have the Vatican's law of Passover forever. for our help. The people are to have the law of God and the kingdom of God forever. And the people are to have that will, that thou will of God, the testator, forever. Those four things are eternal things. They are eternal things. And the three things that I named, the story of Moses and the ship, the story of Jonah and the fish, and the story of Jesus and his band of men breaking laws, those are temporal things. Temporal things, not eternal. And the things coming from God that I have named here today, they are eternal things. Therefore, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Therefore, this statement is as it is in the Bible and has been in the Bible, is a prophetic statement. It speaks about the day and time that we are living in now. Now, because only now is it possible to see the things that are not seen. Only now, not before God's coming. But during the time of God's coming, this has been made possible to see the things that are not seen. Only the coming of God has this been made possible. Has been possible. Okay, understanding 2 Corinthians 4:18. You should have knowledge now of things which are seen, and this is things which are seen before God's coming and before God's manifestation. And you should have knowledge of things which are not seen, those things that God brings forth to and for the people, as he is on earth at this present time. Should be able to cite some things that have not been seen, some things that have been seen even before God coming, and I should be able to cite some things which were not possible to see before the coming of God, but with the coming of God, they are possible and they can be seen. And of course, some people have actually looked at the things that the statement calls things that are not seen. The things that are not seen are seen today. The papacy's law of the curse is a thing that is seen today. There are some people who have actually seen the law of the curse in my document, actually read it. There are people who have seen elements of the law of the curse on my page, Lawmaster's, site page, by going to the archives or listening to the program. They have been able to hear a thing that was not seen before God's coming. And if it was not seen before God's coming, it was not possible for it to be heard before God's coming. But with God's coming, it can be seen and it can be heard. The papacy's law of the Christian African people. And the same for the Vatican's law of Passover, the law of God, and the valid will of God. Only now is it possible for that statement, 2 Corinthians 4:18, to be fulfilled. And it is being fulfilled because, as I've said, there are people who have seen the elements of the will They have seen elements of the law. They have seen elements of the Passover law. They have seen elements of the papacy's law of the curse against African people. They have seen elements of those things from my program, Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast, and there are some people who have actually seen some of those things with their physical eye. And there are some people who have heard elements of those four things with their physical ear. And this is a new thing. This is a new thing. Ecclesiastes 1. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. Well, let's go straight to the matter. It's Ecclesiastes 1:10. The question is asked, is there anything where it may be said, see, this is new? Yes, it is. New. The papers is law of the period. Although it's been around for years, people were not able to see it. And the fact that it can be seen now is a new thing. It's a new thing. The papacy's law of the curse against African people that is in the Authorized Version Bible can actually be seen now. It can be read line upon line. That is a new thing. The Vatican's law of Passover is a new thing in that it is written line upon line, and people can actually view it. People can see it. People can handle it. It's a new thing. People can hear it being read. That's a new thing, another new thing. Two new things. The papers is law against African people and the Vatican's Passover law, law of Passover. Those are two new things. The question is asked, is there anything where it may be said, see, this is new? That's a new thing. Those are new things. The law of God, as I have presented it, that's the new thing. The will of God, the valid will of God, the testator, that's the new thing. People can see it. Before, it could not be seen. So it can be seen now. It's a new thing. Although it's been around, men did not see. Now it can be seen. Now it can be read. Now it can be understood. Now it is being declared. That is a new thing. Four new things. In answer to this question set in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 10. Four new things. Let's cite them one by one. One, the first new thing. The papacy's law of the curse against African people that has been carried out by the Gentiles against African people. That's a new thing. Two, the Vatican law of Passover. The law of silence that they seek. That's a new thing. Three, the law of God as I have presented it. That's a new thing. And four, the will of God the testator. That's a new thing. Four new things God has presented. Four new things. People, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. The question is answered. Is there anything where it may be said, see, this is new? Yes. Four things. We have four things. Four things. Before my coming, there was no God on the earth. There was no living God. Now there is a living God. That's a new thing. Five new things. Five new things. Those are new things. You should be able to cite those five new things. And you should be able to cite the three old things. have the story of Moses delivering the children of Israel from bondage, the story of Jonah and the great fish, and the story of Jesus, that man, as it is set forth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Should be able to cite those things as being temporal things and things that were seen before God's coming. And you should be able to cite the five things that I told you that are new things and that can only be seen with the coming of God, the Lord God Israel, on earth. So I have dealt at length on 2 Corinthians 4:18, taking in also Deuteronomy 29, and Ecclesiastes 1:10, which makes mention, which asks the question, see, this is new. Is there anything where I would make said, see, this is new? Okay. You should have a good, sound understanding of 2 Corinthians 4:18, along with Deuteronomy 29, and Ecclesiastes 1:10. Now, Mark 14:49, says this, the scriptures must be fulfilled. Okay, and I have several scriptures here which must be fulfilled. And keep in mind and make a note of that about 2 Corinthians 4:18, that scripture is made possible by God, by the Lord God, Israel, Lawmaster. Make note of that it can be done. It can be done. It is possible. God has made it possible. Took that by 2 Corinthians 5:18 and put down there, it is done. It is done by some. Some people have my document. Some people, you know, some of you obviously have access to Lawmaster.com broadcasts. That makes those things possible to be seen and even heard. Okay? My book, my documents, my program, my Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast program. Now, the weave and the usher, the scriptures must be fulfilled, Mark 14:49. And let me add this to what I've said already about 2 Corinthians 4:18, that's a must for all people, the Gentiles and all other people in the kingdom of God. That's a must, that they see the things that God has brought forth, the things which before could not be seen but are now made seeable by God. That's a must for all people in the kingdom of God. For the people, for the servants of God, which are the Gentiles, that is a must for all. Young, old, that's a requirement in the kingdom of God. scriptures must be fulfilled. Okay? Just as Deuteronomy 29, because things belong to us, the people must have in their possession God's document, God's book. Okay? They must have that in their possession. The servants of God and all other people in the kingdom of God, that is a requirement they must have. And those who are caught without it, they have transgressed the law of God. And you can get the penalty for breaking the law of God from law master. Archives. And it's also in the will of God document. The penalty for breaking the law of God. And that's a thing that's seeable in the Bible. The penalty for sin. That's a thing that is seeable. You can see that. That's not a mystery in the Bible. All right. Now, the secret things belong to us, the requirement. The secret things which God exposes, okay, and that takes away the quality of you know, secret, the secret, secretness, that takes away that quality. God reveals. And once he reveals, it's no more secret. So when they say, and they say it, that's what they say, the things that are revealed by God belong to us and to us and their children and their children. That's what he forever does. It continues from generation to generation. That's what those things are required. Knowledge of God's word and of God's will, and possession of God's documents. Those are requirements for all in the kingdom of God. The will says that all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, all thy people. All the people shall be taught. And if you're teaching about the Lord, then you're teaching about the things of God. You're teaching about the things that God has made visible now during this day. We're talking about God's word. Now, this statement must be fulfilled also. 1 Timothy 4:10. I'm turning to it. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, we trust in the living God. We look at the things that are not seen, meaning, translate that, we look at the things that have come from God, that come from God, the new God. We look at the things that have come from the new God. And now, that must be fulfilled. We look at, we trust in the living God. This is a statement that must be fulfilled. The law says the scriptures must be fulfilled. I'm giving you scriptures that must be fulfilled. We trust in the living God. That's a requirement for all the people in the service of God. All in the kingdom of God. It is required that they trust in the living God. The living God. The present God. The one who is speaking right now. That's a requirement of the Gentiles and the people of the kingdom of God. That scripture must be fulfilled. Okay? Joshua 24:24. Another requirement. Okay, Joshua 24:24 says this: "The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey." That's the requirement of all the servants of God. That's the requirement of the Gentiles, commonly called white people. The Lord our God, the present God, will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Now, when they obey the voice of the old God, okay, then they serve the new God. It is said in Joshua 24:15, the last five words of the verse, "We will serve the Lord." In Joshua 24:18, "Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And in Joshua 24:24, you have the statement, "The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey." Okay, Revelation 22:3. It says this about God's servants, about the living God. So it says, "His servant shall serve Him." His, the living God, servant shall serve Him, the living God. All right. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. His servants shall serve Him." Revelation 22:3. Psalm 100, verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. His servants shall serve Him." Serve the Lord. They shall serve the Lord with gladness. Okay, go ahead. "Come before His presence with singing, nothing but the living Lord. Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Okay, verse 5 of Psalm 100. "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 99, verse 5, "Exalt ye the Lord our God." Mm-hmm. Psalm 99, verse 9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy heel, for the Lord our God is holy." This is talking about the living God. This is talking, when you carry out the word of the former God, you do service to and for the living God. When you obey the former God, you obey the new God. To disobey the new God is to disobey the former God, because the former God has said, whatsoever He, the new God, the new living God, does to you, do it. He's already said, do it. Whatever He said to, do it. And the statement in Genesis says, what God has said, do. Period. What God has said, do. Whatsoever He says to you, do it. Period. Okay, let's move on, and we're about to close out here. So that was Joshua 24:24, which read, and I want to read it one more time. The Gentiles must perform this. The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. That statement must be fulfilled. That scripture must be fulfilled. The law says the scriptures must be fulfilled. That's one of the scriptures that the Gentiles must fulfill. The Lord our God will be served, and his voice will be obeyed. Serve the Lord. They are to serve the Lord with gladness. Revelation, his servant, the living God's servant, shall serve him. Okay? Things that must be fulfilled. Jeremiah 42, verse 6. Jeremiah 42, 6. Okay? It says this. And it must be fulfilled by the Gentiles. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. That is another scripture that must be fulfilled by the Gentiles. Okay. I'm going to read these two statements. John 20:25. John 20:25 says that we have seen the Lord. The servants of God have the duty to seek the Lord. They have a duty of seeing the Lord. We have seen the Lord. That is a statement that must be fulfilled by the servant of God. First Corinthians 5:1. Gentiles do have a building of God, and all other people in the kingdom of God as well. They all do have a building of God to build, to put together parts. You know what building, and that which is built is called a building. I have put together parts and formed and brought forth a document titled The Book of the Law of God, All Things of Demonstrated Power of God. I have put things together, and I call the document The Will of God. The Will of God. Those are two buildings. I have taken part and put them together. I have built it something. Okay. And there's a building in the episodes of lives. There's a building. We have a building of God. We have something God has assembled. We have something God has put together. They have something that God has made using different parts and elements. They have the word that has come from the living God. They have things in law now program in the archive. They have God, book of the law. The law. Book of the law. All things demonstrate the power of God. And there you have things God has put together. You have a building of people in the kingdom of God. And all the servants of God must have God's word in written form. They must have. And they must have knowledge of all the information in law messages or not. The servants of God must have knowledge of that information. They must have knowledge of what is the Lord God document. They must have that knowledge. They must have the document in their possession. And that is a requirement, as I said earlier, for all the servants of God and all of us. Okay, we have a building of God. God has made it possible for the people to have a building that has come from God. God has made it possible for the people to have something that has been constructed, put together by God. So, the scriptures must be fulfilled. We have a building of God. We have seen the Lord. We look at the things, at the eternal things and not at temporal things. We will serve the Lord and his voice will we obey. We trust in the living God. The things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Those are scriptures that must actually be fulfilled. Actually and literally be fulfilled. So, I'm asked the question in Zechariah, what seest thou? And that was Zechariah 5, verse 2, what seest thou? I see things that are eternal. I see the word of God. I see the papacy's law of the curse. I see the Vatican's law of Passover. I see the law of God. I see a valid will of God. I see those things. I see those things. That before my coming, it was not possible for the people to see. Because the things must come from God, so God must be present. All right? God has made and caused the things that were not seen to be seen. What does that mean? That means simply this right here that is set in Hebrews 11, verse 1. God has provided the substance of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1, we'll look at that then. We'll call it for this hour. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The evidence of things not seen. That's what God gives. He gives the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, causing the things which were not to be seen. And making it possible for God's servant and all other people in the kingdom of God to see the things that were before God coming unseeable, but with God coming, they are made seeable. God provides the evidence. The living God provides the evidence of things not seen. Meet me here at Law Master, Law of God Broadcast, the next time. Check my site for the next program. program. Thank you.